This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everyone, welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We are truly blessed to have Dr. Lania with us tonight, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, who has been not just, I think, of immense benefit to us at Yaqeen with her work on mental health, on Muslim mental health, but to the Muslim community as a whole. I think that we all rely on her work, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, her guidance in this regard. And she is, of course, just someone that we tremendously value. And I think she has a better bookshelf than Sheikh Abdullah too. So welcome to the show tonight, Dr. Lania. May Allah bless you.
Barakallahu feekum. It's wonderful to be here with both of you. Alhamdulillah.
And honestly, tonight, inshallah, when we get into Surah Yusuf, if there's any surah that is as healing or as subhanAllah, just offers so much to us in that regard, I can't imagine anything that benefits the way that Surah Yusuf does. So I'm excited to hear your insights on Surah Yusuf. Jazakumullah khair.
Inshallah.
So inshallah ta'ala, I'll start with the seerah background and the introduction with the Nahi ta'ala. So when we get to Surah Yusuf, which pretty much takes up the entirety of Juz 12, I do want to at least just make note of Surah Hud, which precedes, because there is this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, qad asra' ilayka shayb. O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, suddenly I have noticed the gray hairs hastening on you, O Messenger of Allah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had just a few gray hairs, but they seem to come all in this singular time, this period in Mecca, towards the end of Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was facing his most difficult moments prior to al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, prior to the night journey. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha," that Surah Hud and its sisters caused me these gray hairs. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ specified Surah Hud al-Waqi'ah al-Mursalat and Amma Yatasa'alun and Idha Sukuwirat. Again, Surah Hud al-Waqi'ah al-Mursalat, Surah al-Naba and Surah al-Shams. And, you know, subhanAllah, Shaykh Yasir was saying, if you really want to read something that shakes you to your core, it's really Makki Qur'an. And these are surahs that were all revealed in Mecca, and they revolve around the hereafter, and they revolve around the importance of staying firm. And the particular verse that Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mentions in Surah Hud to the Prophet, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكْ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا, to be firm as you have been commanded, and those that have turned back with you. And do not swerve, O Messenger of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all things. So the call to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain firm alayhi salatu wa salam, and to not turn back, and to maintain his istiqamah, to maintain his firmness. And that's where the most frequent dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of hearts, make my heart firm on your path. And I know Sheikh Abdullah is going to talk about that, inshallah ta'ala, as well. So that is Surah Hud. Now, when we get into Surah Yusuf, which makes up the majority of this juz, obviously this surah is unique in that it is the singular story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? And that is very unique because most of these surahs have multiple prophets that are mentioned. In the case of Surah Yusuf, only the prophets that are within his direct bloodline, alayhi salam, are mentioned by name, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. Otherwise, this is all the story of Yusuf in Surah Yusuf. And as we talked about last year, and I think it's important to talk about this year, the context of this revelation was Aam al-Huzn, was the year of sorrow. So the most difficult year of the Prophet ﷺ's life. And this surah comes down. And subhanAllah, it is, you know, noteworthy that the Prophet ﷺ would meet Yusuf alayhi salam. Of course, he would lead all of the prophets in prayer, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on the night of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. But after the surah was revealed to him, Yusuf alayhi salam would be one of those who he has a specific meeting with, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would note the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam after having revealed the beauty of, or having received the revelation of this beautiful surah, Yusuf. So what we learn from this is that, you know, right after one of the most difficult surahs on the Prophet ﷺ, we have the surah that brought him the most comfort and the most ease. And in that is really a sign, subhanAllah, in and of itself, right? The way that the messaging of the Qur'an is coming to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he is to see his parallels, right? How he is to see his own life story in the context of the life stories of the prophets that came before him, that made up that beautiful house of prophethood. And in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, the Prophet ﷺ is able to see a parallel of himself in every single way, being abandoned by his brothers, ending up in a strange land, ending up in all sorts of different people's power, until the Prophet ﷺ himself rises to power and the people that caused him harm are now at his mercy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just like the situation of Yusuf alayhi salam. So you find all of these parallels in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that are supposed to give him a level of comfort and a level of perspective, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to see the way through. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also, you know, in Aam al-Huzn in particular, the year of sorrow in particular, some of the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ were pleased because they felt like they finally broke him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they took pleasure in seeing the pain that they caused to the Prophet ﷺ. And in the situation of Yusuf alayhi salam, they took pleasure initially in the pain that they caused Yusuf alayhi salam. But of course, we know what would happen after that. So just as the Prophet's enemies rejoiced to see him so sad, and he did not have anyone to console him, which is another thing, right? The concept of loneliness. Prior to Aam al-Huzn, the Prophet ﷺ had Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he had Abu Talib for physical protection. Now the Prophet ﷺ was alone. He didn't have his wife or his uncle to support him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So as Yusuf alayhi salam is going through this journey of the different ahwal, the different circumstances, he's doing it alone, right? He only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aam al-Huzn marks the year that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly only had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn to. Allah azza wa jalla says about Surah Yusuf in general when he talks about the stories, and I know that Sheikh Abdullah will share some of this as well, but inna ta'ala laqad kana fi qasasihim 'ibratan li ulil albab ma kana hadithan yuftara walakin tasdiq alladhi bayna yadayhi wa tafsila kull shay wa hudan wa rahmatan li qaumin yu'minun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is a lesson in these stories for those who possess pure thought. This is not a fabricated tale, but it's a confirmation of that which came before it. What تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء, and it is a detailed explanation in regards to all things, and it is a guidance and a mercy for people who believe. And I think this matches up perfectly with what Sheikh Yasser shared last time about what the Quran is. So subhanAllah, the Quran was described in multiple ways in that one verse in Surah Yunus that Sheikh Yasser talked about, but here in particular, this feature of the stories of the Quran is described in this particular way, a confirmation of what came before it, a detailed explanation of all things beyond it, and a guidance and a mercy for those who believe. Finally, I'll just end with two things, which I think is very important. Usually when you're talking about the virtues of particular surahs in the Quran, it's very likely that you'll find many fabricated narrations or weak narrations about the specific surahs. But one way to know the place that a surah held with the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ was the frequency with which they recited it. And so we find that with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there are narrations that when he would go to a people and he would introduce them to the Quran, that the first surah he would recite to them was Surah Yusuf. And then a very beautiful narration, one of my favorite in this regard, is from a tabi'i by the name of Al-Farafisa ibn Umayr, who says that ما أخذت سورة يوسف إلا من قراءة عثمان بن عفان إياها في الصبح ومن كثرة ما كان يرددها. It's an authentic narration. He says that I did not memorize Surah Yusuf except by the way that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to recite it in the Fajr prayer, due to how much he used to recite it, how much he used to repeat it over and over and over again. And we know that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a man who particularly was tried with the fitna and with the assassination. So the fact that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu would recite this surah so frequently in Fajr that if you just prayed Fajr regularly behind Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you would have memorized the surah. It shows you the makan, it shows you the place that the surah had in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the heart of the companions, and in the heart of all of those who struggle and who suffer for all times, to take comfort and to take affirmation in this beautiful surah of the Quran. And inshallah ta'ala, with that, I'll just invite Dr. Rania, if she has anything to share, inshallah ta'ala, in that regard, and then we'll move on to Sheikh Abdullah. Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu feek, mashallah. It's always really inspiring to hear about the backdrop of Surat Yusuf, because for many, often ask, is sadness discussed in the Quran? And is grief discussed in the Quran? And when we think about how there was an entire year for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you mentioned, called Aam al-Huzn, or the year of sadness, and how Surat Yusuf is the antidote that comes soon after that. And subhanAllah, it's really, you know, when you think about the seerah, the points in the seerah that this happens, as you mentioned, the death of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, where she is the anchor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She's his internal support. And his uncle, as you mentioned, Abu Talib, is his external support, protecting him from Quraysh and all that's happening there. And their deaths, subhanAllah, were just within, they say, about 5 to 6 weeks of each other. Very, very close to each other. And then soon after that comes the most difficult day for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the day of Ta'if. And we know this because Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time, Ya Rasulullah, what is the most difficult day for you after, you know, is there anything more difficult for you than the day of Uhud? And he said, really just quickly, immediately said, the day I was rejected by the chieftains at Ta'if. So it was very kind of a difficult moment for him in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you look at this, all three of the incidents are right after each other, one after another after another. And of course, the backdrop here is that the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslim people who are the beginning of Islam, this is when the boycott, economic boycott, is happening as well. So they're in the time of persecution and poverty and difficulty. And at this moment is when the Surah Yusuf is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you look at it, inshallah, you realize that it comes to console him. It comes as a time of strength for him, and a time of trials and tribulation, a time of pain and anguish. And yes, it's true that we have these emotions, and the Prophet ﷺ himself had these emotions, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to deal with these emotions and to uplift us and to give us solace and comfort. And so inshallah ta'ala, as you mentioned, I hope inshallah we make Surat Yusuf part of our healing journeys, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiki. Jazakumullah khair. Sheikh Abdullah, tafadhal.
MashaAllah, exactly. That's well put, mashallah, is part of the healing journey. And as you mentioned, it's a journey that will be ongoing for us, because, you know, subhanAllah, that some scholars say that the qalb, لِأَنَّهُ يَتَقَلَّبْ, the qalb means heart, but some scholars would say that, you know, it's qalb because qalb means flip. So it has that emotion which stays in motion and always changing from sadness to happiness, and, you know, changing their situation. The situation will always fluctuate and change. And that's why it's important to maintain the ultimate dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember the beautiful name of Allah ta'ala, the exalted. And that is, subhanAllah, a good segue to what I wanted to speak about in the chapter of Hud, verse number 120, that throughout these trials and tribulations, if you would say, I mean, we can even say fitna, because ultimately, linguistically, fitna comes from that which purifies something. So throughout these tests, or, you know, throughout this journey of life, if you will, there will be things that you encounter that will test your heart, and that is a means for purification for you. But subhanAllah, you know, you see within reading throughout these stories of the prophets, particularly in the chapter of Hud, you see that numerous prophets are mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi dhayli surah, at the very end of this surah, he gives you the reasoning behind it, and which is so beautiful. Because when we read the stories of the prophets, it's good to read as a story. And it's something that is very beneficial for our youth, for us, as adults. And, you know, as he mentioned in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, the year of Ta'if, what he explained to Aisha radiallahu anha. Being that when we read these stories, it's important to stop and say, okay, how does this apply to me? How does the situation of Ta'if apply to me when my relative may have, you know, something may have happened to them, or something may have happened to me, or someone that I know. What do I take from that? How can I move on from that instance and that thing that took place with someone or someone else? What can I do to where it's positive for me and those around me? And it is a process. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this chapter, وَكُلَّا نَقُصَّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in each story we relate to you from the news of the messengers is that which we make your hearts firm, will make your hearts firm. And there has come to you in this truth and instruction and a reminder for the believers. So here, the first thing he says that we نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ, we are telling you the أَنْبَاء, the news of the Rusul. مَا نُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. These stories that we are relating to you is for your hearts to become firm. يُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. So the purpose of reading this is for your hearts to become firm throughout these encounters that you may be hearing or seeing or, you know, dealing with, that hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, it's something that will allow you to be resilient and come back from, you know, that sadness or those being emotionally distraught at certain times. By the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by you taking the proper means while you are here and alive, to make sure that it is a means for you to strengthen you and those around you. So when reading the stories of these prophets, as was mentioned with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it strengthened him throughout his mission. And that ultimately goes back to your ultimate purpose, knowing and having certainty and acknowledging that purpose. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says here, after that, he says, وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ, يعني القصص, وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقِّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So three things that he mentions, that these three things, that this story, that these stories of the prophets come from, that the goal of them, what we should get from them. The first thing is truth. The truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all of this took place, and that all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-haq, that he is the truth, and he brings nothing but the truth. So understanding that these stories are truthful events that took place in human history. That's the first thing. And to understand that this is not something that is make-believe, rather it is something that actually took place. And from there, we understand that this truth is something that we can ask ourselves a question to further strengthen our hearts. Then after that is an instruction and admonishment. So when we see certain messages, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stories of certain people that he may not be pleased with, and the stories of those who he is pleased with, from the Ansar, As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun, for instance, min al-Muhajirin wal-Ansar. When we see the characteristics of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, how were they? The companions. Take instruction from that. Look at yourself and ask, where do I stand in regards to this? And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa dhikra, and it is a reminder. Throughout all of this, we're going to fall short. Many of us understand the fadl of Abu Bakr, you know, that he was the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we see these characteristics within the companions, within the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that this is a preferable thing. It's preferable to pray in the middle of the night, for example. But we may fall short of that in this beautiful month of Ramadan. We may fall short of not taking advantage of one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. There are many things that we, as mankind, will fall short in implementing that to the best of our ability. That's why it's important to do as you are doing in and tuning in and listening to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a remembrance, reminder for a certain group of people. There have been many times where each and every one of us have tried to say something good or remind someone about something good. But you see, at that moment, it may not affect them. They may not listen to your message. But this message, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is for the mu'mineen. It's for the believers. It's for the ones that have voluntarily submitted themselves. It's for the ones that are trying their level best to have firm hearts. So when reading this verse, it's important for us to understand that this religiosity, practicing Islam, if you will, coming closer to God, trying your best to show gratitude, is a process. It is not a one-time event. And within that process, there will be bad days and there will be good days. But trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the key. Knowing Allah and trusting in Him and manifesting all the different aspects of worship, we see it manifested within the lives of the prophets, and taking that as the best example to keep our hearts firm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts firm on his beautiful message.
Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Khadija loves what she had to say, Sheikh. She's like,
alhamdulillah, I'm reaching all levels.
It's amazing. Jazakallah khair. Wonderful. And subhanAllah, I think one of the things as we segue in, Dr. Vanya, what's amazing about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and about Yusuf alayhi salam is that Yusuf alayhi salam in prison and on the throne was the same Yusuf alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca and Medina was the same Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna naraka min al-muhsineen, verily we see you to be from the excellent doers, was what the prisoners said to Yusuf alayhi salam and what the brothers said to Yusuf alayhi salam when he was in when he was a king. So the fact that they maintained a consistency showed their hearts never changed. They were affirmed, they were certain. So the circumstances changed, but the certainty remained. And so they maintained that conviction and that saw them through all of these different circumstances. Barakallahu feek, Sheikh Abdullah. Dr. Lani, tafaddali.
Barakallahu feek, mashallah, it was beautiful because when you think about what you were saying related to you are who you are and should be who you are everywhere, inside or outside. And I'm reminded that one of my teachers would often in her dua, make the dua, oh Allah, please allow our insides to match our outsides and our outsides to match our insides. And that we be who we are always and true to you, Ya Allah. Allahumma ameen. And when Shaykh Abdullah was talking about Ya Muqallab al-Qulub and the turning of hearts and how subhanAllah sometimes we know people or even within ourselves that we have these ups and downs and waves and the heart turns and can turn quickly. And so the dua is, Ya Allah, please thabbit qulubana, keep our hearts firm on your path. Allahumma ameen. MashaAllah. And inshallah, that's hopefully a good segue too to the verse that I hope to cover, which is in verse 18 of Surah Yusuf. And there are two main concepts in that surah, that ayah, that I hope we get to discuss. The first, and they come together. It says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. So first I'll cover فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, because here Sayyidina Ya'qub, the father of Sayyidina Yusuf, is now, the backdrop here is he's being told by his other sons that Yusuf has been eaten by the wolf and is taken away. And the first thing he goes to is to say, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. A beautiful, he's saying a beautiful patience. And when we think about what that means, if you would just reflect for a moment on a beautiful patience, that must mean that there are other forms of patience too. And sabr, patience, has many levels then. It's like shades of colors on a spectrum, right? Different shades of color. And so not all patience is necessarily beautiful or jameel. And so the scholars explain that a beautiful patience is one in which there is no complaining to the creation and only complaining to the creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't seek sympathy from other people. Of course, it's all right if other people comfort us and tell us it's going to be okay. That's different from actively seeking out sympathy of others. Rather, we take it directly, we take our complaints directly to Allah azza wa jal. That if you have a complaint, you take it directly to him. Exactly how Sayyidina Ya'qub said a little further in the surah, where he says, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Literally translated as, I complain to Allah. And someone might ask, what does complaining to Allah mean? Is that even a thing? Is it allowed to complain to Allah? And the answer is yes, just like how Sayyidina Ya'qub did, we're allowed to complain to Allah in a positive manner. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that we don't question the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's off limits. As in to say, we don't say things like, oh Allah, why are you doing this? Why me? No, that's called i'tirad, which is basically refuting Allah's wisdom. We don't do that. Rather, ashku or the shakwa of complaining to Allah means you express your grief to Allah. Ya Allah, you know what happened. And it is causing me grief. And so you try to elicit sympathy, not from people, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Sayyidina Ya'qub is doing here. And so when he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, this beautiful patience, it's because he's complaining and talking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's different kinds of patience. There's also, you know, the kind of patience that many of us may have, but there may be a worldly benefit at the end of it. Like this concept of delayed gratification. And I have to say, if anybody knows the concept of delayed gratification, it's physicians. Mashallah. I personally studied 15 years to become a physician, a psychiatrist in my case, you know, after my dean studies. And that's a long time. And when you talk to most doctors or physicians, when you ask them, how do you get through all those years of rigorous study and clinical work? And it's exhausting years of training. And they'll say, there's a payoff at the end, yeah, job stability, financial prestige, whatever it may be. But you see, all of those things are dunyawi payoffs. And we don't want our patients to just have a dunya-based payoff. We want to make sure that our work is, whatever it may be, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we're dedicating that, inshallah, it's for the dunya and the akhirah. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the dunya in our hands, He gives it to us in our hands, but it's never in our hearts. And so back to this concept of a beautiful patience, or a sabrun jameel, the highest level of patience, it's because we know that the reward is not in the dunya. The reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word sabr, to restrain or to withhold, means to hold back. And it's difficult because when you think about the word sabr, it's a lack of action. And when something happens to you that's difficult, you want to take action. If you're upset, your blood is boiling, you want to do something about it, say something about it, and yet you're being taught to exercise sabr, or patience, to hold back, to restrain back. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ said that the strong person is not the one of physical strength. The strong person is the one who can restrain themselves when they are angry. And that is the true test of strength. And sabr is also with the mundane. It's not just with when you're angry, it's even the everyday. It's the routine, it's the chores and the working to feed your family and the cooking every day and the taking out the garbage and reminding your kids to pray 5 times a day and yourself. That too requires a beautiful patience, because the attention is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the people or situations around you frustrate you. And it's not just those things, and it's not just anger, it's also at a time of calamities. Sabr is also at the time of calamities, where we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, from Allah we've come, and to Allah we return. And sabr is when you lose a loved one, and that's very difficult. I myself lost an uncle just this morning. We make dua for him. Subhanallah. And when you think about the second part of what Sayyidina Yaqub here is saying, after he says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, he says, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ, and Allah is the one I'll turn to for help against what you've described. Because he knows that his sons are not telling the truth. He senses something is off with the story. But what is he to do? How is he to get his son Yusuf back? There's a certain level of vulnerability there, a helplessness, not a hopelessness, but a helplessness of, how do I get Yusuf back? So he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hopes of finding Yusuf. And it reminds us that we're never alone as believers. We're never without help. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever turns to Allah for help, Allah will be sufficient for him. And whoever asks Allah Azza wa Jal for protection, Allah is sufficient for him. But let's just be clear. I just want to be very clear here that when we say turn to Allah alone for help, it doesn't mean that we can't seek help from others, or suffer, that we're meant to suffer in silence alone. Actually, it also means, and important to understand, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, commonly the word sakhara lakum, that He's put in our power or subjugated help for us, things for us. He put these things in our help, and He reminds us, al-akhdh bil asbab, you know, taking precautions and help in what He's given us. So sometimes that might mean seeking help from other people, because Allah has allowed for those other people to be the means by which you get the help, right? And I say this particularly in my role as a mental health professional, that this is really important, that we remember that in our grief and in our sadness and difficulty, sometimes we do need to actually seek out the means, akhdh bil asbab, to get that kind of help and support. And inshallah ta'ala, that is a form of seeking and depending on Allah alone, and it does not negate seeking help from the people or the antidotes or the medications or the so on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created for us. And so I hope, inshallah, in closing there, that in thinking about this, that these two phrases, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ and وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ, are two phrases that we should memorize and repeat frequently, inshallah, and remember, inshallah, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that kind of help, and inshallah ta'ala, it will come through.
SubhanAllah, I've never thought of sabr and jameel in the way you just mentioned. May Allah bless you. It's so easy to miss that there are other forms of sabr that are not beautiful. And I think that, you know, SubhanAllah, the most beautiful sabr and jameel sometimes is the one that's just unspoken. Like, I know sometimes we will express our own sabr by saying it's sabr and jameel. We hope it's sabr and jameel. But sometimes it's just this beautiful connection between you and Allah where only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows what you're going through. And you bring that out in the most beautiful and most powerful ways in your dua. And I really do appreciate those reflections. Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu.
Sheikh Abdullah, any reflections you'd like to share?
No, jazakallah khair. It's really, you know, when looking at Ya'qub and Nuh, you know, and subhanAllah, you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the lives of the prophets brings the epitome of the situation. Particularly, these are the sons of Ya'qub that were doing this. And, you know, sometimes we as Muslims, you know, when we may see someone's children act a certain way, you know, it's very important that we do not just have some type of assumption that would further influence the way that we deal with the father or the mother. You know, subhanAllah, when we see this reality with the prophets, we know that the ultimate control is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not alleviate us from our responsibility as parents, as uncles, as community members, as neighbors. But at the same time, we have to be sympathetic to the reality that, you know, the heart is something that is very tender. But at the same token, you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ultimately in control. When seeing, you know, you can just picture, you know, when the son comes in and he admits that, you know, he failed his class or something happened that he didn't anticipate for him. For some of you, you know, you can just picture, subhanAllah, you know, just... You just have to say it, because what kind of sabr is that of the sabr of the family members? Because they know how to push your buttons, you know. They'll bring something out of you that no one else can. And that's where, subhanAllah, you know, at that moment, Ya'qub just, I can just picture, Allah knows best. You can just, sabrun jameel. You know, it's, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes of the patient. Very beautiful insight. May Allah bless you. Mm.
I'll share one thing, subhanAllah, that maybe Dr. Dani, you can close us out with on this. I think that for a lot of people, there's only hardship and ease in that it's like two chapters. What I mean by that is that it might be that you're in a difficult situation and then it seems like the door opens and then it shuts then. And then for you, that's finality. So for example, if I was in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, like, okay, you know, I was put into slavery and okay, I was absolved from, you know, some accusation. But then at the same time, right when the door seems to be opening, now I get thrown in prison. Like, so at that point, okay, so I guess I'm going to die in prison. I feel like for some people, I know I struggle with it. I think a lot of people, I mean, it's like a story can only be two chapters. Like I'm in a bad chapter. And so if I'm trying to open it, get to the next one and then it shuts again, then okay, I'm just doomed to have it shut. But this was like an ongoing, you know, story for Yusuf alayhi salam, and you don't know what chapter of the story, your own story, you're in right now, right? And any advice that you can share with people in that regard in terms of healing, how to see the light at the end of the second dark tunnel?
It's beautiful, mashallah. And I really love how you said, we don't know actually what chapter of our own book we're in, or even how long this book is. Is it a short book? Is it a long book? Is it, how many chapters are in this book, subhanAllah? And I'm really reminded of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when he tells us, you know, that inna ma'al usri yusra and repeats it, it's a reminder, you know, with hardship comes ease. It's a reminder that hardships, you know, are going to keep on happening. And it's not just one, it's a plural. I mean, they continue to happen in our life. And this is repeated throughout the Quran of the different kinds of trials and tribulations we as humans are going to experience, a different combination each person will have. And a reminder that this is part of Hayat al-Dunya. It's this abode of tribulation that we're in. It's not going to be, like you said, one chapter and then it ends. It's actually a continuous number of tribulations that just pick up one after another. But with every one of those hardships comes the ease. It's like tucked inside of it, literally. Because if the hardship comes, the ease comes too. And sometimes we just have to look a little closer to see it, or eventually sometimes it lands around our heads, subhanAllah, right? And sometimes you have to really like just try to discern what is that ease, because Allah's promised it. But he's also made it very clear that it's going to be one trial after another until we get to the akhirah. And that's why it's such a difference. You know, that's why the believer, speaking of sabr and jameel, that's why we have that beautiful patience through the tribulations of this dunya, because there will be many of them. And inshallah, we will get to that akhirah and be pleased with our hisab, you know, with our judgment, inshallah, at the end. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that, you know, ability to fly on the sirat straight to Jannah, and really, you know, everything we've dealt with here, all these difficulties and tribulations, inshallah, may it all kind of be worth it. That in that moment there in the Day of Judgment, we say it was all worth it, inshallah ta'ala. Yeah.
Well, subhanAllah, it's really at some point. I mean, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he ascended the throne, he remembered everything, right? He went through the stages again. And it all makes sense when you get there. The reality is that most of us will not go through the extreme hardship of Yusuf alayhi salam, nor end up in the high position of Yusuf alayhi salam in this dunya. It is truly that in Jannah, may Allah make us amongst the people of Jannah, we do have the memory of what we struggled with, but not in a way that causes us distress in Jannah. Like, we do recall it, but we don't recall it in a way that makes us sad in Jannah because we got a bad memory. There's no trauma in Jannah or remembrance of it in a way. It's at that point, it's Alhamdulillah. I remember when Allah got me through it as a means of bringing us gratitude to where we have gotten. So may Allah allow us to have these conversations in Jannah al-Firdaus around and with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Very, very beautiful insights. Really enjoyed your presence as always. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Abdullah, for your sabr and jameel with me every night. I don't know how you do it. May Allah bless you. Jazakumullah khair, Dr. Vania. May Allah bless you.
Please keep us in your du'as, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
So whether you're a student, an imam, a counselor, a youth leader, an activist, a teacher, a child, a parent, you deserve to have an expert to turn to when you want to talk about Islam. You no longer need to imagine that single resource both our brothers and sisters in Islam and humanity can turn to for answers on the most compelling issues. Because Yaqeen is that resource. And it's completely free. Donate to Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research today so everyone can have somewhere to turn to dismantle doubts, nurture conviction, and inspire contribution, one resource at a time.